Well, thank you very much for that. Brennan, as well as Sam and Sandra, for that incredible music. Today is a feast day, and we are very thankful to be gathered here together as brethren. You know, that word means family. We are God's spiritual family brought together to celebrate this day. Again, I want to say greetings and welcome to the brethren who are here from the Church of the Great God, and some of the other fellowships, some of the other congregations. This is what being family is about, is being able to come together, is being able to worship together, regardless of which corner of Colorado we come from, or which corner of the world, which flock God has us with. And it is such a blessing to be here. It's such a blessing to have this incredible weather, to even be in this building. I don't know that we realize just how many blessings we have. The safety to come together. The opportunity. Because there was a time when God's people were not allowed to gather to keep His holy days. Remember what Moses had to go and ask Pharaoh for. That his people might be allowed to go away just to keep the holy days, just to honor the Lord. And Pharaoh said no. In fact, he made their burden that much harder. Brethren, in many ways, though we live in this world, we have all come up in a land of promise, a land of plenty. And we are so incredibly blessed. And I hope we recognize that, and we are thankful for that, and we give thanks to God for that today. Also, before I get started too much, a little housekeeping and other. This is a purse that was lost at our, I guess, January costume party, January. So again, if someone's looking for this, it'll be at the podium after services. Brethren, if you would, turn with me over to Exodus 13. Exodus chapter 13. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out from the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. And there shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came you out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore unto your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Brethren, that's what this is today. A feast to the Lord. We are gathered, we have eaten the unleavened bread, we have removed the leavening from our homes, hopefully from our lives, and we are rejoicing in this. In verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came out of Egypt. Notice there's a little difference here. That when we speak to our children and when they ask, what is it that we're doing and why? That we say, this is done because of what the Lord did for me individually when I came out of Egypt. What has the Lord done for us, brethren? What has He done for you individually? maybe in this week, maybe in this month, but most definitely in this life. Again, getting to visit with our senior member in the Church of God here, Marilyn, yesterday. Marilyn's 90 years old. She was telling me about when she was baptized at 26 years of age. And she said, I could not begin to imagine my life if I had not found God. What has He done for us, brethren? He's done everything for us, individually. Moses continued on, and it shall be for a sign unto you upon your hand, everything that we do, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, in the words that we speak, not only to each other, but in the world. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Brethren, this is a feast day. It is a day to rejoice, a day to celebrate what God has done for us, for you and for me. It is a memorial that we are to remember and give thanks. He has given us this entire spring holiday season to help us renew and recommit ourselves to the marriage of the Lamb. Brethren, we have entered into a new year. A new year, unlike the rest of the world recognizes, that comes in the dead of winter, when everything is dormant and still and frozen and cold. God brings us into His new year on days like this, a time of refreshing. So how will we go forward? How do we go forward from here? God brought the children of Israel, His chosen people, out of Egypt. Brought them to the Red Sea, Pharaoh descending down upon them, and He told them, go forward. Go forward. And as the priest's feet touched the water, it parted, and they went through on dry ground. The Lord brought them through the Red Sea. He delivered them from Pharaoh, and He truly made them something new. He made them a nation of God. When the children of Israel came into the Promised Land, they kept the Passover every year. They would throw out their leaven and begin again. A new beginning. As Mr. Mates said at the end of his sermonette, He gave them a fresh start. This is flour. It's organic, but other than that, it's just flour. It's just ground up wheat berries that's ground up very, very fine so that you can make things like bread, matzah. You know, for those of us who may have made it at home, the most basic ingredients of matzah are simply flour, water, and a tiny bit of salt. And if you really want to be lavish, a little oil. And that's matzah. Poor man's bread, a humble bread, the bread of affliction. That's what it all starts with. This is just water, purified, clean water. Try to get it all stirred up very well. This is too much water just to make dough. You know what I've just made, brethren? Just water and flour. This is a fresh start, brethren. A fresh start. Brethren, you know what the children of Israel had to do after the last day of unleavened bread? It's very different than what we might do. Some of you are traveling home late. You might stop for pizza because, you know, hey, you can. It's unleavened bread. You might buy a fresh loaf of bread so that you can have that with, you know, toast in the morning. Or maybe tomorrow you'll go out and buy all the things, the baking soda, the yeast, the breads and stuff, and restock our shelves. You know what the children of Israel did in the land of promise? This. They didn't come out of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and immediately eat leavened bread. There's a process. They had to make a starter. This would be what is called a sourdough starter. Again, just pure water and flour. But if we leave this alone, you know, tomorrow we would add again equal parts flour and water. And after about 3 or 4 days, it would start to grow. We'd even see bubbles in it. There'd be life that would appear in it. And after 7, at the very minimum, and more than likely about 14 days, this would become a starter. Something that they could actually take a little bit of and they could place into a fresh lump of flour and water. And they would let that sit. And then over a period of maybe a half an hour, that leaven would permeate the entire loaf. And finally, it would rise. It would become that soft and doughy bread that we all love, that makes it easy to eat and makes it really desirable. But that process would also help break down the proteins that are within the wheat that are hard for us to digest. Many people have gluten intolerance or allergies. It's because their body can't break down those proteins. But with a fresh start, with a sourdough starter, that is the process that it does. It makes it not only delicious and pleasant to eat, but so much better for us. It helps us to truly live. Brethren, every year, the people of God, from the time of the children of Israel until now, we are given a fresh start, a new beginning. Now, the question remains, what are we going to do with it? We came into the Passover season. We recommitted ourselves through the Passover service with the foot washing, with the taking of the bread and the wine. We have eaten unleavened bread for 7 days. We've been made new. Our covenant has been renewed. Now, what will we do with it, brethren? Turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel 36. In some ways, I'm thankful for the life, obviously, that I live, but I think the children of Israel, it was harder for them to just go back to the way that they were doing it the week before. Because it wasn't that quick. They had to wait with anticipation as they watched that bread starter begin to ferment, begin to grow. How much more anticipation would they have of that first leavened loaf than what we will have tonight or tomorrow? that longing for what is new. Ezekiel 36, in verse 24, God tells His people, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone from out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you." Brethren, that's a new beginning. Completely fresh start. Having all their faults, all their sins cleared away and given a new beginning. We are to take what is old every year, the leaven of malice and wickedness, our own faults, our shortcomings, and we throw it out. Sometimes the things which we carry are not just our own sins, but maybe the sins that were done to us. The things that we were afflicted by, like the children of Israel. You know, the things which really followed them into the wilderness were the things of Egypt. What had been done to them, that which they had lived under for so long. But this week, brethren, these last 8 days, everyone gets a fresh start. Because not all leaven is bad. Again, as we look at this fresh starter, leaven is not always considered sinful. Christ Himself spoke to His disciples and described the kingdom. Matthew 13 and verse 33, I'll read this to you. Christ is talking with them, and He says, "Another parable He spoke to them. And He said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." It's interesting, coming into this time, we focus so much on getting rid of all the leaven, all the yeast, all the stuff, because we recognize it as sin, all that came before. That which is old. We don't want that anymore. Hypocrisy. You know, malice, wickedness. But with a fresh start, with God's Spirit placed within us, washed clean, leaven should be like the kingdom of God as well. That is what now grows inside each and every one of us. Inside you, inside me, inside the entire family of God. And that kingdom, the kingdom of God, can be seen by men, can be seen by the world around us as an example of what the bread of life truly is to be. This, brethren, will spread. It is made to happen. How many of you have ever seen that? Someone making their own bread, and they put it in a bowl, and then they take a little bit of starter, a little bit of leaven, and they place it inside it, mix it, and then they walk away. It's amazing, because if you don't do the proportions right, it will actually overflow the bowl. It's kind of glorious. It's kind of wonderful, especially when you're waiting for that fresh bread, those biscuits or those pancakes. It's wonderful. And that is the way the kingdom of God will grow and eventually cover the entire earth. And He's begun that with you and I. Humble bread. Poor man's bread. But when that Spirit is placed within us, the growth is exceedingly rich. Brethren, whatever comes from this day forward is completely up to us, you and I. What are we going to do with this leaven of the kingdom that God is giving to us, with His Spirit? What are we going to do as we have purged out the old and we have our fresh start? Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah in 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We'll begin in verse 15. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. This is what He tells us. Do not remember the former things. Brethren, that's easier said than done, isn't it? How many of us can be having a wonderful day, a wonderful time, and then suddenly there'll come a memory of a hurt, an offense, an affliction, and suddenly we feel deflated? And I don't know how common it is nowadays, but when I was a little boy, my mother would bake a cake. And it just so happened that if I happened to be jumping up and down in the living room, I could make that cake fall. I never really understood that. The cake would be rising, it would be looking wonderful, and I'm like, oh, excited, I'm running around, and I might bang into something. Mom goes, no. And the cake would go, and go flat. You ever felt that way spiritually? Some memory, some affliction, some fault, some weakness comes along, and we're doing so well, and I feel so good, and then there's that phone call, or that letter, or that note, or that message, or even just a memory, and suddenly we fall flat. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. And now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A new thing, brethren. A new thing for His people. Someday, for this entire world, a new Jerusalem. Brethren, you and I have been called and chosen and shown the way. It's right in front of us. It's here. It has been renewed for us over this last week. And the potential is eternal. Brethren, this little starter, this water and flour, life will emerge from it. There's actually life on the wheat, the berries. And it, when it is crushed, when it is ground into the flour, it's released and it permeates all the flour. And it's waiting for that water to quicken it so that it begins to grow. Again, we've done this project in our family and with our children, teaching them how to make bread. But it's interesting to watch, if you set it aside and you put a little cheesecloth over it, and you watch it over the days, it does expand. It'll actually double and even triple in size. But bubbles start in it. You see the life in it. Then after a week or two, there will be enough life in it that it will spread to an entire lump, and life will appear in it as well. That is how we are to complete our commission. But it has to be taken care of. It is a new life, a new start. And just like those of us that are called into the church of God that are shown a way, we are young. We are new. Like many of the grasses that we will see springing up, it's so green and young. But it has to be tended to. It has to be cared for. It's not hardy yet. In studying for this, I looked up some information online. Many of us have heard of the King Arthur Baking Company. They've made their own flours for many, many years, decades. This is an article written by someone at their company, Barb Alpern. She says it takes 6 to 10 days to create a healthy, and she calls it a mature, starter. Doing this from scratch, you have to be careful of the threats that can attack it. She calls them death threats, because it'll actually kill this new life, this fresh start. She calls it a fledgling starter that hasn't developed its defenses that characterize a mature starter. That's, you know, what Christ says, if we offend one of the least of these, whether they're new or young. We've all seen that happen, just like that cake that's rising up and then falls flat. Hasn't developed the character or the defenses that's needed. But once your starter is fully developed, becomes resilient. Again, I think of our brethren who have been faithful for decades. They've weathered the storms. They've weathered the divisions, the splits, the contentions, the attacks. And they're still here, faithful. And as we talk to them, as they share things with us, it's like taking little lumps or little clumps of God's kingdom and placing it into one another so that that kingdom can grow. Brethren, I could rattle off the names of brethren that I have gone to visit. Again, those faithful ones that have weathered decades and many, many years. Maybe they're nearing the end of their lives, and I go to visit them, and I leave feeling restored and refreshed, because that's who they have become. Now this fresh starter, you can't just make it once and then set it aside and forget about it. A fresh start must be fed daily. It has to be cared for. Again, just like our infants, our babies, our children. What does that mean for us spiritually? It means that we must seek God while He may be found. In this world, it's so easy to be distracted by everything else. You know, I mean, my phone pings at me continuously with the latest updates on what celebrity just did what stupid thing. How many of us get interrupted by our phones while we're praying? Again, don't answer that. I will. All the time. All the time. But that's not going to feed us. It's not real food. It's not the bread of life. We must put on the whole armor of God, that which will truly protect us. we pray. We must have that connection with the Father, with Christ His Son, to be armored and protected. We feed on His Word. And when needed, we fast. We stay humble. Barb Alperin says that there are two major threats to a fresh start before it has had time to mature. And she says the first thing is heat. First thing is heat. Now, there does need to be warmth for those cultures and those enzymes to be able to feed and grow and expand. Again, I think just like a baby, they need to be wrapped in that blanket and held next to the mother, placed upon her skin. They need that. That's what activates the life that is inside and causes it to grow. And everything needs a little bit of stress, but too much, and it'll kill it. Kind of reminds me of that old adage that we've all heard when we were kids, not to play with fire. And those of us who've played with fire and got burned, and then realized Mom and Dad were right. Oh, that's right. How many of us played with fire and had to be healed and restored into the body of Christ? I dare say all of us. Maybe the degree of burns were different, but that is part of our growth that God redeems us from. Brethren, there is enough heat in the world to kill all the fresh starts. We've had enough testing that we don't have to go looking for it. That's not what we want. We can see it. It's out there again. It's on our phones and all the airwaves and our radios, our televisions. It's coming in at us. In fact, it's something that we have to block out, to put up those protections. Again, you know, while this has to have air, you want to place a cheesecloth over it to protect it. You know, I kind of wondered when or how long the children of Israel went without leavened bread, or, you know, how maybe God protected them. Because I think the Egyptians went without leavening for a while. Remember some of the plagues that hit them? Talked about the frogs being inside everything, being inside their bowls. Ugh. I mean, I'm a parent, so I've gotten over the whole 5-second rule when you drop something. But a frog? Nah, I ain't touching that. No, thank you. I mean, they're slimy anyway. But can you imagine that being in the dough of your bread? Brethren, that's in the world all around us. You know, the pestilences that hit them, the bugs, they got into everything. That's the world that we live in, and we must be protected from it. We are placed into the world and yet called out of it. God asks that we be protected, that we be different than the world. But without that covering of Christ, without the protection, the armor of His Word, none of us would be that fresh start. The second thing which Barb Alperin says will kill a fresh start is simply neglect. If we neglect this fresh start long enough, if we don't feed it, if we don't remove the portion that needs to be removed so it can continue to grow and discard it, if we don't stir in fresh flour, fresh water, it will die. Do you know how it typically dies? Bad bacteria will appear in it. That which we don't want in there. Those things which come from the world. Again, coming into this Holy Day season, we talked about how Paul was addressing the church in Corinth. Remember, this is something they all understood because they had to make their bread daily every day. There might be one or two of us in here who actually still does that. But the rest of us don't. We buy our bread, and unlike when I was a kid, it'll last weeks and weeks. This is what they had to do every day for their daily bread. And what they were adding into it was corrupt. Again, I'll just read this to you. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Because we covered this extensively before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. He says, you're glorying? Again, that pride, vanity. He says, it's not good. You've let this infect you and grow in you. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? The difference is it good or is it bad, that which we're allowing to grow? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. Again, we've been forgiven. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Brethren, we've been made into a new lump. You know, just like that unleavened bread, the flour, the water, a little salt, maybe some oil. What are you and I going to put into it? What are we going to place in it? Because we've taken out the corruptible things. We have been sanctified, spiritually sanitized. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in his second letter. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, from this day forward, excuse me, I lost my place. There we go. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Again, that which is corruptible. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do we truly appreciate that for ourselves? That God, he's cleansed us. We are that new lump because of his son's sacrifice, because of the blood of Christ. We are made new, a new creation, a fresh start. We must be fed and cared for until we become mature. That's a process I dare say we're all still in, that we're all still growing in. And we have to be careful that whatever is placed into us must be pure. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Brethren, can we remember the water washing over us when we were baptized? You know, oftentimes we try to make it so that the water is not freezing cold. I was actually baptized in Big Sandy, Texas, at Ambassador College, and they had a baptismal tank, I guess, or a pool sort of thing. And they added fresh water. Because, you don't want that scent sticking to you. But it was relatively warm. It wasn't bad. Of course, coming into the ministry, I baptized people in pools. I baptized them in lakes. I baptized them in rivers. There's something incredibly renewing and refreshing about a cool, if not cold, river. It is bracing. You come out like, whoa! Now that's a physical reaction because of the cold. But that is, in a way, brethren, what we want from our baptismal waters. Coming out feeling completely new. You know, the baby who is born and comes out of the womb, they've never felt air on their skin before. And regardless of the temperature, it's cold to them. It's a shock. And that causes them to breathe in that breath of life, to fill their lungs, to seek their mother, that warmth again. Brethren, that's what we should long for in being renewed. Being renewed in the spirit of our minds. In verse 24, but that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. If you've gone camping for a week, and you've pretty much had the same clothes on, and you've got the smell of wood smoke on you, and dirt, and all the other places, when you go home and finally shower, and scrub, and get everything clean, you want to put your camping clothes back on? No. This is, again, one of the lessons, I think, for the children of Israel, in that before they had leavened bread, they had to make this first. They had to wait for it. It's so easy for us to just go back to, life was different for a week, but we fall back into our routine so quickly and so easily. We don't want to put those old clothes back on. We want to put on the new man who was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, or maybe not even just being honest, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Honesty. And the type that builds someone up, not what beats them down. For we are members of one another. Remember, the kingdom of God is supposed to also rise. Be angry, but do not sin. Boy, that's a tough one. Because what do we do when we're angry? I want to punch back. I want you to feel it. But did Christ do that? The first of the first fruits? No, he did not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So much of it, brethren, we can let go of. Just like that old leaven. Just dump it out. Why am I carrying this thing around? The children of Israel had an option when they left. Okay, here's your bowl. Now, do you want to fill it full of flour or gold? They could only carry so much. You know, they were probably carrying, you know, hand carts, stuff like that they're wheeling out, all their possessions. And God said, go to the Egyptians and say, hey, you want to give me some gold, some silver, precious, you know, material? And they were piled with it. Part of that example of them coming out of Egypt, he says, they didn't prepare any food to take with them. How many of you would be going into the desert without thinking about food? Riches were piled upon them. Incredible blessings, gifts. Hundreds of years worth of labor that for generations that they had accrued. And we're going to pack flour? Not when I can take gold and silver, precious stones. Why do we do that with sin? Brethren, God is offering His precious truth, His life. Gold, that's what He refers to His people as. Precious stones. Why would I give space to resentment? To wrath? I don't want to carry that into the kingdom. Brethren, the fact is that we can't carry it into the kingdom. That will not go into God's kingdom with us. We have to learn to drop that and let go of it now. How many petty things can we hold on to? I mean, if you have a choice, you still want to be mad at Bill? Or would you rather have untold wealth? This is actually harder to let go of than to grasp what is precious. Because we've clenched onto this for so long. Let it go. Let it go and be filled with what God has to give us. Verse 27, as we do that, we let go of our wrath, nor give place to the devil. Because when we hold on to it, that's what gives the devil a foothold into our lives. It's what allows him to put corruption into that new life, that fresh start. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. That we may actually be generous with one another. This isn't just about food or wealth. It's about being generous with one another, with their faults, with their mistakes. Brethren, the greatest example in my life, we all get hurt by someone. God has been incredibly gracious to me to bring up memories of when I did the same thing. That allows the ability to be gracious with someone else. Oh yeah, I remember doing that. I remember saying that. I remember thinking that same thing. This allows us to give to those who have need. Not just physically, but spiritually. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. We have to say, is this actually going to build them up? Is this going to be a blessing to them? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What's going to make them want to do better? What's going to help them to do better? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What do we think would make God grieve? What breaks a parent's heart more than anything else? Watching our children hate one another. Over what? A toy? Or little? Some slight, some offense? Let's not grieve our Lord, our Creator, our King, our Father in heaven, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We can complain about something that someone did or a division or a split a decade ago. And you know how much good it will do us? None. It's just like sprinkling old leaven into our fresh start. Doesn't do any good. It will not help us grow. Or in verse 32, it won't help us be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving of one another. This is what we are to do, even as God in Christ forgave you. Brethren, this is where we have to start. Our fresh start, our new beginning. Again, God gives us this opportunity every year. But especially today. Today, brethren. Tonight, those of you who want can go home and make a fresh start. Brethren, someday, the whole world will be given a fresh start. They will be made new. Our world today that would normally turn its nose up at matzo bread will also strive to get ahead of one another, step on one another, push one another down, and gather as much as we can to ourselves. Someday, the entire world is going to see the beauty and the simplicity which is in Christ. They will see the goodness of God's feast of unleavened bread. Brethren, we have been given a fresh start today. Let's take advantage of it. Let's not neglect it. Let's not let the world creep back in and fall back into our old ways. Let us go forward as a new creation, just like the children of Israel, as a new nation, having been washed clean, feeling that tingling of the washed water. Do we think we can do that here? You and I, those of us gathered together in this little room today, our congregations, our groups here along the Front Range and in the whole state of Colorado. Can we do that? Can we not only accept a fresh start for ourselves, but for the rest of our family, our brethren? Brethren, we have the bread of life. We've been given the water of life. What can we do with it? 2 Peter 1. Brethren, we have been given everything we need. It is simple. It is the simplicity of Christ. It is God's Word. It is His commandments. we have what we need. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, or has been given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, being careful with this new beginning, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, meaning if they grow like the leaven of the kingdom, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our future. The kingdom of God that we are marching towards with a fresh start. Brethren, I want to do something in closing. I want to ask God's blessing upon us. Not to close the service, but as the minister of the United Church of God here on the Front Range. Because I know for myself, brethren, all the things I dream of and hope for, not only for myself and my family, but this family, I can't do on my own. It's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. So if you would, please bow your heads with me and I would ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, we come before you on this feast, this last day of unleavened bread. And Father, we are so thankful for what you have given to us. The incredible gift of the knowledge that we have, that we may have a hope that is not known in this world that lives in a shadow and darkness, that doesn't understand the love that you have for them and the desire that you have for them. Father, we ask your blessing upon this people, each and every one, from the youngest babe to our oldest member, for all of us who are trying to walk this path and teach this path to our children, for those who are striding along it and those who have just found it. Father, please pour out your blessing upon this congregation, this little flock, this fold of your sheep, that we may truly become a new creation, that we may have a fresh start such as we have not known or understood before, that you, Father, will lead us and guide us by your truth and by your spirit, by your love and by your mercy, that we may be a new creation such as we have not known, that you will walk beside us as we continue through the wilderness and as we see the waves and the waters around us, as we see the desert, that we may be fed by you, that we may be given the water of life and the bread of life, that we may be fed on you by your Son. Father, change our hearts. Soften them. Make them hearts of flesh and not stone. Give us minds to know you, hearts to love you, ears to hear and eyes to see, that we may truly, Father, walk forward into your promised land, into your kingdom. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask this by the power and the authority of your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us be blessed, brethren.